Yeah, well, at least your name isn't Michael Bolton.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that name.
There was nothing wrong with it until I was about 12 years old and that no-talent ass clown became famous and started winning Grammys.
Why don't you just go by Mike instead of Michael?
No way. Why should I change? He's the one who sucks. The Churchill Shows you are.
This is the Sound Off. I am the Solomonster, and you are listening to episode 30 here at SCScoops.com for Sunday, June 22nd. Thank you so much for tuning in this week as we head into the 3-hour-long edition of WWE Raw this week, the 2008 draft lottery taking place, another $1 million to be given away of Vince McMahon's money, and no doubt some surprises thrown into the mix. Certainly a big night of action tomorrow night, but unfortunately with all the promotion that's been taking place and all roads kind of leading into the draft in San Antonio this week, WWE has been in something of a holding pattern on Raw, SmackDown, and ECW these last few weeks, and as such, I don't really have a whole hell of a lot to talk about this week in the podcast, to be perfectly honest with you. I'll touch on Raw a little bit and let you know that I didn't think it was a very good show this past Monday night. I can't wait for this draft to be over with, not only because I think it's a good thing that we need the rosters to be shaken up. I look at that as a positive, but man, we really need to get the ball rolling here and get some good storylines and some good feuds and just something going, because there really ain't much of anything going on right now in WWE. Hell, I've got tickets to the Great American Bash next month, and I want to see a good show, damn it, so let's get something going. Now, Raw this past week, we had yet another edition of Mr. McMahon's Million Dollar Madness. Week 2 was a slight improvement over Week 1 in that he didn't misdial as many numbers as he did last week, but there was another malfunction at the junction, if you will, and some of you wrote into me in the feedback, which I'll get to in just a moment, because this podcast this week is really all about your feedback. The one problem with the $1 million giveaway this week is apparently, other than the money that McMahon was giving away to fans, there was something else that was given away, and that was some people's phone numbers who unfortunately made it onto the air. Mr. McMahon showing off some digits, and I'm sure that did not please some of the people who have been receiving, from what I understand, prank calls and things of that nature. So they really have to tighten this thing up a little bit and give these people the privacy that they thought they would have when they entered this damn sweepstakes. Congratulations to the winners. I, unfortunately, was not one of them. I'm sure everybody listening is probably in the same boat as I am, because let's be honest, if you won $250,000, you're not going to be sitting here listening to the Sound Off. Well, maybe you will. In any event, I have to admit that I'm surprised we're in for another $1 million giveaway. I thought for sure that they would figure out a way to weasel their way out of it this past week. That did not happen, but rest assured, Vince McMahon is looking for a way out, and for all I know, this Monday may be the last of the $1 million giveaways. And it certainly remains to be seen. I just think we're at a point now where you really need to put the focus on the product. I would love to win $1 million. I'm not averse to Vince McMahon giving away money if that's what he wants to do, but just the format that this thing is taken on, it just completely takes away from the live show. The matches are 90 seconds long, although I think we had an 8-second match involving Crime Time this past week, which was absolutely atrocious. And we're just in for more of the same if this stuff keeps up. It's not that these segments take up a whole lot of time, although they do take up some time that could be dedicated to the matches themselves. It's just, they're so horrendous, they're so unnecessary, and people, instead of looking forward to seeing the matches, are looking forward to these stupid segments, and it really does detract from the program. And being that we've got the draft finally at long last this Monday, I think we need to shake things up. Let's move some people around, and let's get things going. Forget about the $1 million giveaways and focus on the product. Focus on some good hype and lead-in into SummerSlam, which, of course, is the big pay-per-view event of the summer. And, of course, Great American Bash, because I will be there. Another thing I want to point out about Raw Monday night, was also how boring it was. It wasn't just that the show was ineffective, I think, in making people care about the Night of Champions pay-per-view, which is coming up a week from today, Sunday. It's also that, quite frankly, this is not compelling television that they're putting out there. I mean, you have a main event of Triple H against Chris Jericho, which is a main event caliber feud. Here's two guys that have main evented pay-per-views in the past, including a WrestleMania. And I just found myself not caring much. I thought for sure Triple H would squash Jericho, build some momentum heading into his match with John Cena. So in that respect, I was pleasantly surprised that Jericho didn't win, or rather didn't lose cleanly, laying on his back in the middle of the ring. But, you know, I got to say that this stuff involving Jericho and Lance Cade has me a little confused. I'm curious to see where they go with it. I'm not just sure that throwing Lance Cade out there like that was the best way to do things. Although, let's be honest here. I mean, I've talked about having factions. If this somehow will lead to a Jericho-led stable on the Raw brand, or even the SmackDown brand, if he gets drafted, I'm all for it. I think Jericho would make a great mouthpiece for a faction, and they want to stick a couple of young guys in there like a Lance Cade or take your pick, any other superstar. I'm not against that. It was just very flat, you know. It's just a very flat way to end the show last week, and they really are going to have to... Well, what's Vince McMahon saying in the commercial? It's time to shake things up. I think we're about at that point now where it's go time. And as far as my draft picks, I've talked about that on the podcast before. I'm not going to get into that. Nobody really knows for sure who's going to Raw, who's going to SmackDown, who's leaving ECW. All those questions will be answered on Monday night. And in fact, I don't even think now, a little over 24 hours away from the actual show, that even the writers or the performers themselves know. And in the past, the performers have been kept in the dark until the very last minute because WWE is paranoid about information leaking out to the internet and to the wrestling media. And the fact is, I really question if the show itself is even done. I don't think anybody except Vince McMahon really knows who's moving and what's going on tomorrow night. Now, it does lend an element of surprise to the show, which is great. It's good to be surprised every now and then. But predicting who's going where is kind of fruitless, being that nobody except Vince himself at this point probably knows. Again, I'll get to your feedback in a second. There have been some interesting suggestions on your part, and I'll share that with you here this week. Well, hell, I mean, why don't we just get into it right now, since we're on the subject. I did get a letter from Tyler, who wanted to share some of his thoughts on what he feels will be taking place on Raw this Monday night. In Tyler's opinion, one of the big moves, if not the biggest move of all, will be John Cena and JBL moving to the SmackDown brand because they have no feuds ongoing at this time. MVP moves to Raw. One thing that Tyler would like to see, but most likely will not happen, of course, is Triple H and Edge swapping shows with their respective championship belts because, in Tyler's opinion, the World Heavyweight Championship is the biggest belt in WWE. And Raw is the biggest show, so it makes sense that the two would go hand in hand. Now, as far as Triple H moving, I think I mentioned this last week. I think it would be a great move. Triple H has effectively been on Raw for, what, 12 years now? I think a change is due. Triple H, you know, last time he made an appearance on SmackDown, I'm going to guess, was probably about 5 years ago. When he was a babyface, you go back to 2002. I know him and Hogan at the time, had a match, or I remember them being part of a battle royal of some kind, and so it's been a while for Triple H being on a different show. Fresh? Absolutely. Would it make sense? I think it would. Is it going to happen? I don't believe so. Certainly if Triple H has any say in the matter with his wife, it will not happen. If Vince McMahon, however, decrees that it is beneficial to the product for Triple H to move. Maybe he thinks Triple H is so fantastic that he hopes it rubs off on SmackDown. Remember, SmackDown is switching networks this fall, and it's going to need all the help that it can get. And I can't think of a bigger move than moving the reigning WWE champion, Triple H, over to the SmackDown brand to help build the brand up a little bit. I think even if it's a temporary move, and maybe 6 months from now, Triple H moves back to Raw somehow, it would still be something fresh for at least the next 6 months. And I do think Triple H could help out the SmackDown brand. I do think so. And the Raw brand won't suffer. Raw brand already has a great deal of star power. It's SmackDown that really needs some big names. Now, if you're going to do this, of course, you need to balance it out. So if Triple H moves to Raw, who moves to SmackDown? And I think the obvious answer there is Dave Bautista. Bautista, of course, used to be part of the Raw brand, former World Heavyweight Champion on SmackDown, and lately hasn't been doing much of anything. He had the feud with Shawn Michaels, which I think is effectively over, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Now he's heading into Night of Champions, a title defense, or rather a title opportunity against Edge. I don't know anybody that really believes Batista's winning the World Heavyweight Championship, so where is there for him to go on that brand? I think Batista should move to Raw, Triple H should move to SmackDown. That's what makes sense as far as that. Now, John Cena and JBL moving to SmackDown, of course, that's a different story. If Triple H were to move, I don't really agree with moving Cena. I think you got to move Cena away from Triple H. And so you can do one or the other. I don't see how both are going to work. So either you move Cena and keep Triple H on Raw, or vice versa, or you just don't do it at all. I think there has to be a separation between those two guys. And it really, you know, now the more I think about this, it is possible. The draft predates the pay-per-view. So if Triple H were to be drafted to SmackDown, that doesn't mean that you can't have Triple H John Cena at Night of Champions. What it means is that you now have a pay-per-view match that is truly a one-time-only event. If anything, it might help garner more buys for the pay-per-view, because here's a match you may never get to see again. And it's a great opportunity, if they wanted to keep the WWE belt on Raw, for Triple H to drop the title to John Cena and then transition over to SmackDown. Just some food for thought. It certainly could work. I still maintain Triple H is staying right where he is, because I know that he would rather die 1,000 deaths than go to SmackDown. And Triple H does wield a lot of power. He does have a lot of influence. But again, at the end of the day, Vince McMahon makes the decisions, and we'll see what Vince thinks. You know, if Vince is true to his word and wants to shake things up, I can't think of a bigger move than that, though. It's going to be very difficult for them to surprise me and make me eat my words and say, hey, Triple H didn't move, but man, this move was so much bigger. I suppose John Cena moving would be just as big, but I don't know. I really don't know, and I don't think anybody else knows. Undertaker, for the one person that did ask me, I forgot your name, Undertaker is not moving. Undertaker, they made it a point when Undertaker lost to Edge at the last pay-per-view one-night stand, I believe, they made it a point to say that the Undertaker, being that he was no longer in WWE, could not be drafted. I could be wrong about that. The point being, Undertaker is not switching brands. Although he is supposed to be back on television, possibly as early as the second week in July. I believe July 11th is the date that's been set for the Vicky and Edge wedding. Shows you where my mind is. It would not surprise me to see The Undertaker make a cameo appearance and break up that wedding and lead to, obviously, another championship match between the two men. Maybe for SummerSlam, maybe the Great American Bash, I don't know. But Undertaker, last I heard, was not due for an extended absence. So look for him to pop back up on television sometime this summer, sooner rather than later. Tyler wanted to also know at the tail end of his email here why Vince McMahon is having another money giveaway on Monday night. Why could he not wait until the week after the draft? Now the giveaway is going to be the big thing on Raw this week and not the draft. Well, I disagree. In fact, I think it actually makes sense for them to do the giveaway this week. And the reason being, they've got 3 hours of TV time to fill, and WWE has had difficulty doing this in the past. I mean, most of their 2-hour shows lately have been boring. Let's be honest with each other here. And the fact is, the last 3-hour Raw show, which I believe was the King of the Ring show in April, these shows are sometimes very difficult to watch. The 3-hour shows could be very entertaining if they actually gave more time to the matches. Think about it. These are essentially pay-per-view length editions of Raw, only with commercials. And if you take the Raw overrun into consideration and the fact that pay-per-views never go the full 3 hours, they're basically the same amount of time. There's no reason for us not to get at least one or two lengthy matches. And if last week's Raw, and really the last couple of weeks, has been an indication, we're taking a step back and not a step forward. I want to see longer matches on Raw this week. You've got 3 hours of time to fill. Between that and the giveaway, there's your show right there. So I actually disagree. I think now that we have some more TV time, it's fine if they want to have some of these segments, as long as this is it. I don't want to see any more money giveaways after this. I mean, like I said before, I'm not averse to Vince giving away money, and I wish everybody who's entered luck, I'm entered into it myself, because, damn it, I've been a fan for so long, I should have the same opportunity as everybody else. Do I expect to win? No. At the end of the day, do I really give a crap about how much money Vince McMahon is giving away? No, I don't watch Raw for that. I don't watch Raw to see Vince McMahon dial a telephone. I don't watch Raw to see Charlie Haas lock lips with Mae Young. That's just not the reason I tune my TV to USA Network every week, and I wish that they would get that message and just move away from that and just give us what we want. And I hope that this Monday night is a step in that direction. So Tyler and I can agree to disagree on that point, and I think it's fine as long as this is it for the money giveaway. Lewis writes in, and I mentioned this before, he points out that just about every card that Vince McMahon had in his hand at some point on Monday night during the giveaway segments was in plain sight of the camera shot. So anyone with a DVR who recorded Raw was able to go back and take a look at the winner's phone number, hometown, and first and last name. WWE had better be careful, because anyone with a little internet access knows how they could find the winners. I guess their whereabouts is what he means by that. And Lewis also mentions he's a big fan of the podcast and wants to say thanks. So thank you for that. I agree. They have to be more cautious with this. You're getting into privacy issues here. And this is a great segue to another email that I got this past week. And, I don't have to share this on the air, but I thought I would in the interest of full disclosure. I got an email from somebody named Melissa. And Melissa was upset. There was a story that appeared on SEScoops.com earlier in the week. Now, I personally did not post the story, but nonetheless, as a representative of this website, I do take responsibility for things like this when they occur. There was a story that was posted about the $300,000 winner named Frank that you all saw on Raw Monday night. And the story that was posted at SEScoops.com contained an account from somebody named Matt Thompson, who may or may not be a real human being, claiming that he had spoken to Frank on the phone and that Frank was telling him the call was pre-recorded and that Vince McMahon was ad-libbing and just a lot of false information. The story never should have been posted in the first place, and once it was brought to my attention, it was promptly taken down from the website. I've apologized to Melissa. And again, it's just worth noting that occasionally, big surprise, there will be false information spread from time to time on the internet. And you just got to kind of weed out the bad things and try to keep the good ones in there. And every now and then a bad apple will slip through. I apologize for that. And we'll make every attempt to make sure that it does not happen in the future. That's not the type of website that this is. And certainly I think we have a reputation that would indicate to people that when you log on to SEScoops.com, you are getting information that is not only up to date, but is also as accurate as possible. And there are things that are simply rumors, and most of the time it's delineated as such. Or they are rumors that are culled, so to speak, from reputable wrestling sources like the Wrestling Observer or the Pro Wrestling Torch or PW Insider and other sites, sister sites and brother sites like that. And we certainly give credit to them where applicable. So, again, I apologize to Frank and Melissa and anybody else who was offended. That story was taken down, and we will make every attempt to make sure that something like that does not happen again, because that's not what SEScoops.com is all about. See, and this is just another reason why this money giveaway has to end, because now it's having an adverse effect on SEScoops. This money giveaway is not good news for anybody. Well, unless you win money, of course. By the way, for those of you who asked, of course, I think $16 prize was the low money offer on Raw Monday night. This week, they're giving away $1. You know, I have to say that if I won the dollar, I don't think I would cash it. I think I would frame it. Just so I can frame it and say that I have a check from Vince McMahon and World Wrestling Entertainment. I mean, why cash it? That's a keepsake for the rest of your life. But nonetheless, moving on. Another letter here from our good buddy Donovan from Reidsville, North Carolina, who writes in on the subject of the Intercontinental Championship, which I talked about, I believe, on the podcast last week. Well, it had to be the podcast because I was not part of the live show on Monday Night with Noah. Just this was the week from hell for me at work, and a lot going on right now at work for yours truly. A lot happening this week as well, and with the draft, it's just going to be another crazy week. And although I will be back on the live show, SE Scoops Live with Noah Mark this Monday following the WWE drafts. Just for those of you who are interested in knowing, if you want to log on to SE Scoops after the show and talk about the draft and any other surprises that occur, I will be on the air live with Noah, so definitely tune in to that. But back to Donovan's letter. Donovan agrees with me that the Intercontinental Championship once had prestige that does need to be brought back. He is not sure that giving the championship to Shawn Michaels would be the best move. Now, it's worth noting that Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho are not officially opponents yet for Night of Champions. One would expect that this week on Raw, they will collide in some way, that Shawn Michaels would make an appearance, especially because the show is taking place in his hometown of San Antonio, Texas. It would be a crime for him not to be there. And I would suspect that not only will he be there, but there will be an Intercontinental Championship match or some kind of match involving them at the pay-per-view formally announced. That has not yet happened, but assuming it does, Donovan does not believe that moving the belt over to Shawn Michaels would be for the best. He says, doing this, although it does add notoriety to the belt, in his view, it also makes former world champions, especially those of legendary status, appear to have fallen from grace, like Ric Flair's IC title run. And that's a very good point that Donovan brings up. He and I disagree with this overall idea, but when Ric Flair won the Intercontinental Championship, and I'm trying to remember who it was that he beat for the belt. I'm not sure if it was MVP. Well, MVP was not the... No, it was Carlito. I think this was back in 2004. Ric Flair had beaten Carlito. I want to say it was Unforgiven, and had a couple of month reign as Intercontinental Champion. And I agree. It almost seemed out of place that Ric Flair, of all people, was holding the Intercontinental Championship, but Ric Flair is in a league of his own. I think he's the exception and not the rule. Ric Flair is looked at as the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion, so naturally it was not normal for him to be holding a title of secondary status like that. But I disagree. I would have no problem with Shawn Michaels holding the Intercontinental Championship. I also would have no problem with Chris Jericho continuing to hold the belt, which is something that Donovan goes on in his letter to advocate. I certainly do not have any issue with Jericho holding on to the strap, although I do think that it would be something different. I would think that Michaels winning the belt at Night of Champions, if they have a match, and then losing it back to Jericho in a rematch, maybe some sort of ladder match, maybe it's SummerSlam that you could build towards. At the end of the day, the belt would find its way back around Jericho's waist. The idea would not be to make Shawn Michaels a long-term six-month Intercontinental Champion. We're talking about a short-term shot in the arm, do something different, boost ratings, boost interest type of move here that would not hurt the belt. If anything, it would help the belt. So it's a win-win situation. And Shawn Michaels winning a championship of any kind is certainly not a bad thing. Now, Donovan argues that instead of seeing Shawn Michaels as the Intercontinental champ, he would rather see him as a world champion. Well, you're preaching to the choir. I would love to see it too, but it's not going to happen, at least not now. You've got Edge on top on the SmackDown brand. You've got Triple H with a stranglehold on the WWE Championship. And if it isn't around Triple H's waist, then it's around John Cena's waist. And if it's not around John Cena's waist, it's back around Triple H's waist. There's no room for Shawn Michaels to be a champ. And don't even mention Shawn Michaels and ECW in the same breath, because I don't even want to hear that. I think Shawn Michaels does have another run in him as world champion, not necessarily long term. I don't know that Vince McMahon agrees. You know, Ric Flair thought that he had one last great run as a champion, 17 times world champion. Vince McMahon disagreed, and Vince McMahon won out. Ric Flair got a very nice retirement, a very nice send-off, but he did not get that one more championship reign that he would have liked. By the way, I did forget to mention one thing in my Raw review earlier, and that was that Ric Flair's appearance on Raw Monday should never have taken place. It was completely pointless. I don't know what purpose it serves. Unless Ric Flair is going to be back on Raw this week and is going to have some involvement in this storyline, maybe he ends up being somebody's manager. But if it was just a one-time appearance where Flair randomly walked out, didn't really say much of anything, and then basically got kicked out of the building, what purpose does that serve? Why would you put Ric Flair on Raw without hyping that in advance? At a time when Vince McMahon is so desperate to pop a rating, he's giving away $1 million of his own money every week. You've got Ric Flair, who's been off television and retired, quote-unquote, for a few months now. All you need to do is go out on Raw and say, hey, next Monday night, we're going to have the Nature Boy back on Raw. You don't even have to say what he's going to be there for. That'll let it, you know, you let that fester. People are going to be interested. Hey, what's Ric Flair doing back on Raw? And they will tune in because Ric Flair, for all the abuse that he and his character has taken over the years, back when he was in WCW and even at times in WWE, Ric Flair still pops a rating. There are people that still want to tune in to see Ric Flair. So why you just put him out there without any sort of advanced notice? And it didn't even serve any real purpose. It was just kind of there. Is something that has me scratching my head. I don't really understand the need for that. John in Northern Ireland writes in, what do I think about Scott Steiner's comments regarding Ric Flair, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels? Was it misdirected rage, jealousy, or just a publicity stunt? Well, I think it was a little bit of both, I think. A little bit of everything. All of the above. I think certainly jealousy is a big part of it. But then again, who wouldn't be jealous of a guy like Triple H, who is married to the boss's daughter, and basically is set for life, as long as he doesn't screw up somehow? Is it a publicity stunt? Maybe, in part. But I think Scott Steiner is just an openly honest guy. I think he's speaking his mind. He shoots from the hip. You might not agree with him. I certainly don't agree with everything the man says. But he's entitled to his opinion, and I don't think he's working us or... I don't think he's necessarily saying it just for attention. I think he's being honest, and he just doesn't have an off switch. I don't agree with his comments that nobody gives a shit, basically, is what he said about Ric Flair, that it was all just a work, it was an act. You know, all of those superstars that came out to celebrate Flair's career the night after WrestleMania, that it was all just a work, and they were just doing it because they were told to, which is partly true. But I disagree. I think a lot of people have genuine respect and admiration and affection for Ric Flair, even though Scott Steiner apparently does not. Of course, he also feels that Shawn Michaels is one of the most overrated performers in the history of the industry, which, of course, is a joke all unto itself. But again, Scott Steiner is certainly entitled to his opinion, and I respect him for it. I really do. I respect people who are honest and open and don't bullshit you. And you can say a lot of things about Scott Steiner, but one thing you cannot say is that this is not a guy who is honest and forthcoming, I guess you would say, in his opinions about people, and he's still active in the industry. For all we know, he could potentially end up back in WWE one day, and yet he's not afraid to speak his mind. So there you have it. And lastly, some more opinions from you guys writing in about who you feel are some of the more underrated and overrated performers in WWE. Good buddy Matt writes in, feels that guys like JBL, Mark Henry, Chavo, The Miz, and Triple H are overrated. While guys like Finlay, Shelton Benjamin, Matt Hardy, Umaga, and Elijah Burke are all very much underrated. Hard to argue with any of those picks. I agree. Underrated. Jillian Hall, Tommy Dreamer, Elijah Burke, and Victoria, says our good buddy Lee. Lee also thinks that Vladimir Kozlov, Maria, Vicky Guerrero, and Chavo Guerrero are highly overrated. You know, the one thing I'll disagree with is Vicky Guerrero. Vicky, for those of you that actually tune into SmackDown, I have to say, has some of the best heat that any heel in the industry would kill for. I mean, when she comes out, she is just radioactive. People just love to boo the hell out of this woman. And that's a hard thing to accomplish, given who she is. And, you know, Eddie Guerrero passed away less than 3 years ago. And he was a beloved figure. And a lot of that kind of respect and that love rubbed off on the Guerrero family. Of course, she was there to accept his Hall of Fame induction on his behalf in 2006. And yet, here we are about two and a half years later, and she is one of the biggest heels in the business. And that says a lot about her. Not just the way that she's booked, but she's done a very good job of portraying that character that she is paid to play. And so I give Vicky a lot of credit, and I don't think she's overrated at all. In fact, I think it's amazing what she's been able to accomplish, and the kind of heat that she has been able to attract from the fans is really something that people can learn from. Now, back to Matt for a second. Matt also had two other questions here that we'll end with. The first being, where is the coach? And haven't heard a lot about the coach since the news that he was moving over to ESPN, which has not yet happened. Now, as I understand it, he has not yet signed a contract with ESPN, but was expected to do so. I think regardless of whether he goes to ESPN or ends up working full-time for the MSG Network here in New York, where he is working, I've heard Coach numerous times over the last couple of weeks doing reports for some of the MSG shows, doing recaps for Mets and Yankees and the Knicks and the Rangers. So I think Coach's tenure as an on-air WWE performer is, for all intents and purposes, over. And he's leaving on very good terms. He's very well-liked in the company by Vince McMahon, among others. Coach is moving on, though, it would seem, to bigger and better things. And certainly, you know, you wish the guy a lot of luck. He's been one of the more entertaining, I guess, announced characters over the last couple of years. I thought, and still feel, that Coach would make a great heel manager. I don't think he was ever suited to be a performer, certainly. Although I do think he excelled in that role as kind of the on-air executive assistant to Vince McMahon. But I think, again, wrestling managers are a lost art. And I think Coach would have been very good at that role. And the other question is, other than the Batista-Booker T fight a while back, as you may recall, have there been any other fisticuffs backstage in WWE? Well, I don't know if you mean recently. Recently, no, but certainly over the years there have been. And two that come to mind would be the Chris Jericho-Goldberg scuffle a couple of years back when Goldberg was in WWE, which means this probably would have been about 2003. That was due to some bad blood that existed between both men because Goldberg did not want to work with Jericho back in his WCW days. And I know Jericho was very much bothered by that. And I think it kind of stemmed from that. And as I recall, Jericho ended up putting Goldberg in a front face lock and making him look very foolish in front of the boys backstage. And before that, of course, one of the more famous backstage brawls involved Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels back in 1997, where I believe they were fighting in the men's bathroom and they were kind of pulling each other's hair out of their heads like a couple of schoolgirls, and they were sent home and they weren't on the show that night. And then, of course, a couple of months later in Montreal, we all know what happened there. I'm sure there have been others over the years. If I'm remembering, there was some sort of scuffle backstage at Nitro in WCW back in 99, I want to say, involving Scott Steiner and Diamond Dallas Page. I think Lance Storm had to step in and help break that up. So there are examples of that over the years. But you would hope, especially in today's climate, it's such a business-like, professional environment, that if you did get into some sort of backstage scuffle, you best be worried that your job may be at risk. I don't know that we're really going to see a lot more of that, because the business really has changed and evolved a lot over the years. And that's pretty much going to do it for this week's show. Smaller podcast again. We're kind of in a holding pattern right now. I think after the draft this Monday night, there'll be a lot more to talk about. And hopefully there'll be just a fresher overall feel to this show. Not just Raw, to all three shows. Raw, SmackDown, and ECW. So, of course, everybody, go out, watch the draft on Raw Monday night, enjoy. Hopefully you will tune into the live show with myself and Noah Mark immediately following Raw this Monday night on SEScoops.com. We'll be back with episode 31 of the podcast next weekend. Until next time, be well, stay safe. This is the Solemn Monster, and enjoy the draft tomorrow night.
You've been listening to the Solemn Monster.
You know, I really just don't understand what they're doing. Anybody agree with me out there? I mean, anybody. Come on, throw me a bone here. Probably the single dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. God, I love this business.
On SE Scoops.